Chapter 3. Hakeem woke up the next morning in a daze. For an instant, he thought he was home in his old bed and that the move to Detroit had been a bad dream. But then he noticed the unfamiliar posters and felt the uncomfortable bedspring in his back and knew the move was all too real. Reluctantly, Hakeem sat up and stretched. He heard the heavy, wet sound of snoring and glanced over at the bed across the room. Savon was asleep, buried under a layer of blankets. Only his foot was visible, poking out from beneath his blue sheet. Apparently, he had come in some time after Hakeem had fallen asleep. At least he's quiet for once, Hakeem thought, enjoying the morning silence. A crumpled $50 bill lay on top of some papers on Savon's desk. How'd he get that? Hakeem wondered. Savon grunted and turned over, violently pulling the sheet tight against his body. For an instant, he looked eerily like a corpse in a body bag. Hakeem shuddered at the image. After showering and getting dressed, Hakeem headed downstairs. His father and Uncle James were sitting together at the dining room table. They were talking but stopped suddenly when they saw him. The look on Dad's face was grim.
"There's my man," Uncle James said, standing up and smiling broadly. "I was about to head up there and wake you, but your dad said you were tired from all that traveling."
"How you doing, Uncle James?" Hakeem said, hugging him. It had been years since he had seen his uncle. Uncle James was 2 years older than Dad, but he looked 10 years younger. Seeing him was like looking at a snapshot of Dad taken before the chemotherapy, another reminder of the past Hakeem could not reclaim.
"I'm doing all right," he said, grasping Hakeem for several long seconds. Hakeem felt like a child in his uncle's embrace. "I'm glad you got here safe and sound, and I like that you got up so early. Not everyone in this house is an early bird." Hakeem knew his uncle was referring to Savon, who was still sound asleep when Hakeem got out of the shower. "Uncle James could use some help at the store, and I told him you were willing to lend a hand. He's about to head over there now, and I thought you might want to go with him," Dad said. Hakeem knew he didn't have a choice. If his father were healthy, he'd help Uncle James without any hesitation. But with him still recovering, the job was Hakeem's.
"Hakeem, I can't do what I used to do. Not now, anyway. I'm expecting you to fill in for me until I get better," he'd said.
Since then, Hakeem had taken on many tasks around the house. He didn't mind helping, but the many jobs made him feel different from the other people his age, kids who didn't have to save money for their parents, shop for groceries, take care of their sisters so Mom and Dad could go to the hospital. Dad's request was the latest in a long list of jobs Hakeem got but never asked for.
"Sure, I'll help," Hakeem replied.
"That's my man," Uncle James answered, patting Hakeem on the shoulder.
Dad nodded, his tired eyes haunting Hakeem as he left the house with Uncle James. The drive to the furniture store from Uncle James's house took only about 10 minutes, most of which were spent waiting at traffic lights. The store, JR's Discount Furniture, sat in a strip mall bordered by Motown Liquors on one side and an Everything for $1 market on the other. The cracked asphalt parking lot was pocked with potholes and littered with broken glass. As they neared the front door, Hakeem noticed that the entire storefront was hidden behind a thick metal screen.
"Me and Savon put this up about 5 years ago to protect the glass," Uncle James said, unlocking the screen and hoisting it over his head until it disappeared above him like a garage door. "It ain't easy doing business around here, but this is home, and I ain't going nowhere else," Uncle James added defiantly.
With the metal screen raised, Hakeem could see that the storefront was lined with thick glass panels facing the busy street. Each panel displayed giant letters that appeared to be hand-cut from neon pink paper. The sign nearest the door spelled out, "Summer Sale, Sofas and Chairs, 40% off." On the other side of the door, Hakeem noticed a smaller orange and black sign that read, "Help Wanted." Uncle James followed Hakeem's eyes.
"It's hard to find decent help. I just fired a young man last week. He was unreliable, always calling out sick," Uncle James explained as he unlocked the front door and stepped inside. "Here it is, Hakeem, my home away from home," Uncle James said proudly spreading his arm out as if the entire world were his. The store consisted of two main aisles that stretched back from the front door. On the right side were a few sofas and chairs. On the left, a series of kitchen and dining room sets. Right in the middle was a display set up to look like a real living room, complete with sofa, love seat, coffee table, and a large fake tree. Its leaves were coated with a layer of fuzzy gray dust. Hakeem smiled, imagining his friend Tara's reaction to the display.
"Now that is one sorry living room," she'd say. "And who would want a giant dust tree in their house? You'd have to pay me to put that anywhere except the trash."
"I started out in a tiny store a few blocks north of here," Uncle James said, interrupting Hakeem's thoughts. "I was just a few years older than you, working for an old guy who wanted to get out of the city. He sold his place to me. After working hard for a few years, I was able to move into this building where we got three times the space."
"Looks nice,"
Hakeem replied politely. Outside, an ambulance raced past the store, its sirens fading in the distance. Uncle James looked up for a second, but then continued. "A lot of stores have closed or moved out over the past few years. Me, I'm staying. This neighborhood needs businesses. Kids need to see that there are ways of making a respectable living without getting involved in the garbage that happens on those streets. Now, if only I could get your thick-headed cousin to listen to me. All he wants to do is waste his time with his friends." Uncle James complained wearily, flipping on a light switch. Hakeem didn't say a word. He wasn't sure how to respond. He had his own doubts about Savan, but he knew better than to share them with Uncle James. That would be asking for trouble.
"Listen, Hakeem," Uncle James said, pausing as if he were searching for something. "Your pops told me how you've had to be the man around the house since he got sick, so I'm going to talk to you man to man."
"Okay," Hakeem agreed, nervous about what his uncle had to say.
"Business has been a little slow this year, and I had to let people go. Now I'm doing the work of three people," he explained.
Hakeem could see that it was difficult for him to admit.
"But I can handle that, especially with you around. Savan's the one I'm worried about."
"Savan?
I think he might be headed for trouble, and he don't listen to me or anybody anymore," Uncle James confessed. "I was just hoping, now that you're here, you could keep an eye on him. Maybe talk some sense into him, too."
"I can try, but..."
"And listen to me, Hakeem," Uncle James interrupted. "If you see anything that might be serious, you gotta tell me, no matter what it is. I'm counting on you." Hakeem could not argue with his uncle's intense stare, but he wanted to. For months, he had struggled to help take care of his own family. Now, not only would he be doing that and helping his uncle, he was also to play big brother to Savan.
"Savan hates me," Hakeem wanted to say, but Uncle James looked at him gravely, as if he were entrusting him with a great responsibility, something Hakeem could never question.
"Okay, Uncle James, I'll keep an eye on him."
Hakeem agreed, though he felt as if he was being pulled into a trap he could never escape. 9 hours later, Hakeem's mother arrived to take him home. Hakeem was grateful to see her. He didn't think he could stand another minute in the store. In the morning, he had organized displays, packed up a chair, and helped unload two new sofas. In the afternoon, he had swept the aisles and scrubbed all the glass panels in the front of the store. It was as if Uncle James had saved work for months so he could make Hakeem do it.
"How was work today?"
Mom asked as he collapsed into the passenger seat of Aunt Lorraine's beat-up Nissan.
"It was okay," he replied, releasing a deep sigh.
His arms burned and his legs ached, and he felt as if he had run a marathon. The drive back to the house took just a few minutes. As Hakeem wearily climbed the front steps, his mother put her hand on his shoulder. Her skin looked worn and thin in the late afternoon sun.
"You know, Hakeem, your dad and I are really sorry that we had to move you out here."
"I know, Mom. If there was any other way, we..."
I know.
Hakeem insisted, unable to hide his frustration. He knew the trap he was in. He didn't need her to remind him again.
"You told me a million times already. There's nothing you can do, and there's nothing I can do. I just gotta deal with things right now. Believe me, I understand."
"Understand what?"
A voice cut in from inside the house. It was Dad, his forehead creased with concern. Akeem's mother's hand dropped from his shoulder like a stone.
Nothing, Pop,
Akeem said. For months he had tried his best never to complain to his father. Dad had enough on his mind.
We were just talking about work stuff.
Oh, his father replied. Everything okay today?
Yeah, Dad. Everything was fine.
You sure, son?
I'm just tired, that's all. And hungry,
he added, hoping to change the subject.
Well, I think your aunt can take care of that, Dad said, stepping aside so Akeem could get to the dining room.
Savon rushed out of the dining room just as Akeem entered. The two nearly collided.
Hey, cuz, you gonna take my seat at the dinner table, too?
Savon mumbled so no one else could hear him. His eyes glared with fury.
What?
Akeem asked. He wasn't ready for his cousin. Not now.
Don't act surprised. You're already taking everything else,
he said with a scowl and then turned to his mother.
I'll be back later tonight, Mom. I gotta help Tariq with something,
Savon said and then dashed out the door.
Don't be back too late,
Aunt Lorraine hollered, but Savon was already gone.
I swear that boy will give me an ulcer.
After dinner, Akeem went upstairs, closed the door to the small bedroom, and collapsed on the bed. He wished he could go away, that no one would ask anything more of him. But then he heard a soft knock on the door.
What?
He grumbled.
What are you doing?
Said a child's voice. It was his sister, Charmaine.
I'm minding my own business.
It was what he usually said to his sisters when he didn't want to be bothered. But as soon as he said it, he felt guilty. He knew the adjustment to Detroit wasn't any easier on them.
Come on in.
Charmaine and Charlene opened the door, walked in, and then sat on the bed next to him.
How are you two doing today?
He asked.
Fine,
Charmaine said. She looked at her sister and giggled.
What is it?
He asked, trying to be patient with them.
We met this pretty girl next door, and she told us that you're supposed to teach her to play the guitar,
Charlene said. Akeem smiled, remembering his talk with Anika.
Is that all she said? She said you're cute, too,
Charlene added and then started to laugh.
Oh, no, she didn't,
Akeem said.
Yes, she did,
the girls replied together in between bouts of laughter.
So what's so funny about that?
That just means she's got good taste, Akeem said, tickling them both. Their laughter cheered him up, reminding him briefly of home and a time when cancer was something he'd heard of on TV, not seen in his own house. Moments later, Akeem heard a voice downstairs and knew that Uncle James was home.
You did good work today, Akeem,
Uncle James yelled.
I hope you're getting your rest. We got a big shipment coming tomorrow, and I sure could use you.
Akeem cringed at the idea of another grueling day at the store, but he knew Dad was listening to his every word.
I'll be there,
he said.
Good. Don't stay up too late. You're gonna need your strength.
Without a word, the girls left the bedroom and closed the door. Dreading the day to come, Akeem changed out of his work clothes, stretched out on the bed, and fell into a deep, dreamless sleep.